Come out of the world, oh my people.
Welcome to Torah Life Ministries, teaching about the instructions of our Creator and putting His Word into action. From suffering well to living a blessed life, looking forward to the hope and future that awaits true believers of the faith. Welcome to the show with your host, Paul Nisan.
Hello, everybody. This is Paul with Torah Life Ministries, and we continue to read the Suffer Well devotional series. And think about those words, suffering well. And like Paul said, we need to move forward and continue to move forward and run this race, right? So we're going to read this, and it's called The Perfected Mind, and then we're going to do a little teaching about this today. So it says, all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. John 1 verse 3. The mind of Messiah is no less than the knowledge and wisdom of everything pertaining to sinless thinking. And the nuance we want you to grasp now is that the perfected mind is itself is a creation of Yahweh for mankind. What an awesome perspective. Perfection in thoughts and therefore by holy design, perfection in actions is in creation of the Almighty. In essence, Yahweh himself is above perfection, beyond it, and you can imagine, against such there is no law, Galatians 5:23. Although perfection is commanded, therefore you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Matthew 5:48. How many of you are so empathetic that no one can be perfect? This equates to no less than a barefaced rejection of your full inheritance for which Messiah died. Don't believe it? Whichever or whoever abides in him does not sin. Whomever sins has neither seen him nor known him. 1 John 3:6. Whoever has been born of the Mighty One does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin, because he has been born of the Mighty One. 1 John 3:9. We know that whoever is born of the Mighty One does not sin, but he who has been born of the Mighty One keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him. 1 John 5:18. If you continually excuse the lack of effort to reach for perfection, calling it humility, claiming that you are resisting the self-taught effort to be holy again, you tread dangerously close to trampling the blood underfoot. This is not humility, loved one, but false humility. For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins. Of how much whose punishment do you suppose, or how much worse punishment do you suppose will be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of the Almighty underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace, Hebrews 10, verses 26 and verse 29. A perfect mind is possible only because of Yeshua's life manifesting in you, and that is only available, or more precisely, mandated because of the blood he shed. For those who understand this, there are things you will need to remember. On your journey to be perfected thinking, one crucial thing to grasp is humility. No, not just humility, vast humility. This is quite different from the false humility that we are exposed, or that we just exposed. Once you begin through strict and disciplined obedience to access the mind of perfection, you will be able to root out any and all deceptive patterns of thinking. You must first do this in yourself before you are free to recognize in others. This is penetrating and humbling experience. Part of the perfection is decreasing need to correct the errors of others, like Messiah in you, Colossians 1, verse 27. You will learn to first pray for others rather than be quick to rebuke and correct them. Be still and know that he is Yahweh, not you. Psalms 46:10. Part of the perfect mindlessness is the reality that prayer is the most powerful and effective tool you have. Ah, yes, the effective prayer of the righteous man avails much. James 5:16. Another crucial concept to understand is that the perfective mind speaks only after having exhausted every possible remedy and conclusion that fails to meet the holy standard. In other words, a question like, well, did you think about this? Will always be met in the affirmative. How could you be at the perfected level of thinking otherwise? All avenues have been considered, and the perfective mind picks the perfect way every time. This is no less than Yahweh's fullness in you, loved one. With this type of thinking, how could the solution not always be perfect? But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is part will be done away with. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understand as a child, or understood as a child. I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but the face to face. Now I know part, but then I shall know, just as I also know. 1 Corinthians 13, verses 10 to 12. I take vast humility to sit face to face with Messiah. It is what will draw you closer to the perfected mind. And when you arrive, it is what will keep you there. And then it will take you beyond. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That is where we find ourselves at in this reading here. So I want to go to some scriptures because this is a topic that could be confusing to several about how perfect we can really be and what is perfection in us and what does that exactly mean. So let's go to Philippians 3:12. Philippians 3:12 says, pressing towards the goal. I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things or that I have already reached perfection, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Yeshua first possessed in me. So by this scripture, we're understanding by what's being said here is perfection is possible and it's something we must press on to achieve. So that reveals a lot here. You know, when it's saying, I don't mean to say that I have reached or achieved these things that I have already reached perfection, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Yeshua first possessed in me. So this is a possible attainable goal at some point in our walk, but we must press on to get there, according to the scriptures here. 1 Timothy 6:12 says, fight the good fight for a true faith. Hold tightly to the eternal life to which Yahweh has called you, which you have declared so well before many witnesses. Yes, when it comes to sinning, Yahweh's word tells us not to sin. Not to sin. And what I see and I believe is we can be perfect in the area of willful sin. We might not necessarily achieve perfection in the unwillful sin. We very well might, but in willful sin and to transform our mind, we could be perfect from willful sin. And I'm not saying I'm there. And just like Paul said, this is what I press on to do. And in those unwillful sins, this is where Yeshua blood covers us. 1 Timothy 6:19 says, by doing this, they will be storing up their treasures, a good foundation for a future that they may experience true life. And 1 Corinthians 9 verses 25 to 26 says, all athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. So I run with purpose in every step. I am not just shadow boxing. Every step I'm in the game, every step I take seriously. People call me a legalist. People call me a freak or a fanatic. I go to the extreme for my creator. And in that, my desire not to have willful sin in my life is something I strive for, to not live in the flesh and willfully sin And I have failed many times, as Paul says, I am the chief of sinners. But I press on. I don't give up. When I get knocked down, I don't give up. I don't let the enemy try to convince me that I can never reach this state. 2 Timothy 4:7 says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race, and I have remained faithful. Remained faithful. Faithful to your desire to have a perfected mind and a perfected life in Yeshua. Matthew 6:20 says, store up your treasures in heaven, where moth and rust cannot destroy, and thieves do not break in and steal. This beautiful place, this beautiful place. So we talk about this sinless perfection, and then we talk about the perfection. You know, Yeshua spoke about prayer, and he told us to confess our sins daily. Does this mean we have daily sins in our lives? And he's not asking non-believers to confess their sins, because non-believers, number one, aren't interested in even confessing anything or praying or even admitting that they're sinners. And even if they are, Yahweh's not hearing people who make a practice out of living in sin. Willful sin. Yeshua taught to confess our sins daily. Matthew 6:9-12 says, pray then this way. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed by your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven them. Forgive us our offenses as we have forgiven them. Understand, Yeshua came because we're sinners. And we have to put our foot, we have to put ourselves at the foot of the cross every single day, daily. Because there just might be, and we might understand, this daily sin in our lives, though we might not do it willfully, though we might not make a practice out of sin, though we might struggle with sin, though we might overcome it, but the unwillful sins that, you know, sometimes we might not even realize these things. And we pray for a perfected mind to understand these things. You know, I'm always, always careful when somebody says they never sin and they're perfect. For if you're perfect, why do you need Yeshua? And this is what non-believers tell me. Well, I don't sin. Sin is transgression of the commandments of our Creator. Who's following the 100%? Now, some people say, oh, we can never follow the Ten Commandments 100%. The Ten Commandments are only a small part of all of the commandments of Scripture. There's 600, over 600. So 10? It's not difficult to keep the Ten Commandments. But when you look at all of them, it's not difficult to keep all of them. But we're talking about perfection here. We're talking about perfection. And when we're told in Scripture to daily come to Him and ask Him for forgiveness of our sins, to admit and humble ourselves enough to know that we're not perfect in every area of our life, but we press on. We're perfect in our desire to be perfect. We're perfect in our faith, to be willing to admit that we're messing up and we messed up, but our faith to trust in Yeshua and the blood and Him dying for us, that we'll be willing so much to die, to literally die to our flesh, to become new in our spirit. It says in 1 John 1:7-10, but if we walk in the light as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Yeshua then cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us and our sins to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. Psalm 66:18 says, if I have not confessed the sin in my heart, Yahweh would not have listened. We desire daily to run the race and press on and be perfect, but the reality is we are not perfect. Yes, we are perfect in Him, but we live in this world. As it says in the Scripture, we fall short daily. Psalms 143:2 says, do not bring your servant into judgment, for no one is living righteous before you. For Yahweh says, the heart of man is wicked. Ecclesiastes 7:20 says, indeed, there is not a righteous person on earth who continually does good and who never sins. Proverbs 20:9 says, who can say I have kept my heart pure? I am clean without sin. And Psalms 51:5 says, surely I was a sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. That is not an excuse to live in sin. Yeshua didn't die for us so we can continue to live in sin. He died for us so we would overcome these things and be a new creature, born again in him. But we have to understand. We have to understand and think as an adult and not as a little child. 1 Timothy 1:15 says, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Yeshua came into this world to have sinners, of whom I am the chief." And Luke 5:8 says, "When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Yeshua's feet and said, 'Go away from me, I am a sinful man.'" But we think about the perfection, the perfected mind. Our desire must be perfect to press on and reach that place of perfection. A desire. And we think about these things. And, you know, and Paul talks about this in the scriptures. And, you know, people say, well, Paul was always talking about his previous sins in the past and sins in the past. No, he says he struggles now. He struggled in his life during this time. It says in Romans 7:15 to 25, "For I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law that it is good. So now it is no longer I who do it, but the sin that dwells in me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is in my flesh, for I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. So I find it to be a law that when I do what is right, evil lies close at hand." Verse 22, "For I delight in the law of Yahweh in my inner being, but I see my members and other law waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wrenched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to Yahweh through Yeshua our Messiah. So then I myself serve the law of Yahweh with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin." Galatians 5:16 to 17 says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please." I heard a man once say that he's going to walk down the street with sunglasses and paint them black so he can't see anything. And people said, "Why do you do that?" He said, "Because I don't trust my sinful mind when I see something and the thoughts I have." And somebody said, "Would you be willing to lose your own eyesight so you would not have these visions?" And the scriptures say, if something's causing us to sin, to cut it off. But man today has no problem going to surgery and cutting off a body part because they think their disease is going to overtake their body. But when our Creator says, cut off that part of your body to help keep you from sinning, people say, well, we shouldn't be taking that literally. 1 Corinthians 3:1-3 says, "But I could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh and infants of Yeshua. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. And even now you are not ready for it, for you are still of the flesh. For while there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving only in a human way?" 2 Peter 3:18 says, "But grow in the grace and the knowledge of Yahweh, and the Savior Yeshua, our Messiah. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity." Philippians 1:6 says, "I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Yeshua, our wonderful Messiah." We must not give up the race. We must not give up the race. Romans 12 verses 1 and 2 says, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of Yahweh, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to him, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed by this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, the testing, that you may discern what is the will of Yahweh, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Yes, we will stumble. It says in James 3, verse 2, we all stumble in many ways. Anyone who's never at fault in what they say is perfect and able to keep a whole body in check. James 3:8 says, "But no human being can tame the tongue, that is restless evil, full of a dead poison. And Psalms 130 verse 3 said, Yahweh, if you keep a record of our sins, who can ever survive? But we have to understand, this is why Yeshua came. And this is what he does for us on a regular basis. We give it all to him. All to him. All to him. And we grow. We grow with him. And his blood becomes more and more real to us every single day. To strive to reach that place of perfection. This is why we obey. This is why we go to the extreme to please him. This is why we never up seeking. This is why we never give up running. The reality is, it says in 1 John 1:8, if we say we are sinful, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. Everyone has sinned and falls short of Yahweh's glorious standards, Romans 3:23. The Bible says in Matthew 5:48, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. 1 Peter 1:15 and 16 says, but now you must be holy in everything you do, just as Yahweh chose you as holy, for the scriptures say, you must be holy because I am holy. Therefore, be imitators of Yahweh, dearly loved children, Ephesians 5:1. 1 John 2:29 says, if you know that he is righteous, you may be sure that everyone who practices righteousness has been made born of him. This should give you a monitor of where you are in your walk and in your life, and how much work we all still have to do to press on and not give up, to reach this place, this perfect place of perfection in our desire, to give up our life we love him that much. To give up our life that we love him that much. Hebrews 10:14 says, for by one sacrifice he is made perfect forever for those who are being made holy. Philippians 3:12 says, it's not that I have already reached this goal or have already become perfect, but I keep pursuing it, hoping somehow to embrace it just as I have been embraced by Messiah Yeshua. Philippians 1, verse 3 to 6 says, I give thanks to my God for every remembrance of you, always praying with joy for all you have in me, every prayer, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. I am sure of this, that he who started a good work in you will carry it out through completion until the day of Yeshua Messiah. And Hebrews 6:1, therefore, living the principles of the doctrine of Yeshua, let us go on to perfection, not lying again, or laying again the foundation of repentance from the dead works of the faith towards Yahweh. And James 1 verse 4 says, and let the endurance have its perfect effect, so that you will be perfect and complete, not deficient in anything. We have to understand these things. Our prayer time shouldn't be a time of asking for things. It should be a time of repentance and asking for forgiveness, not physical things, but asking for forgiveness. And to come to him and confess our shortcomings and to humble ourselves and to seek to be more like Yeshua. And Yeshua and the love that Yeshua had for one another and the love that he had one another. That's what to be perfected in our lives. 1 John 4:17, 8 says, in this love is perfected with us so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment. For we are as he is to this world. There is no fear in love. Instead, perfect love drives out fear. Because fear involves punishment. So the one who fears has not reached perfection in love. And that's the perfection of Yeshua we must imitate, mimic, and get to. We will unwillfully sin. We may even willfully sin. But we must work on consistently and press on to become perfect in love. Perfect in love. We already spoke so much about this. 1 John 2 verse 5 says, but whoever keeps his word in him, truly the love of Yahweh is perfected. By this we may know that we are in him. And 1 John 4:11 and 12 says, beloved, if God is so loved us, we are to also love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, Yahweh dwells in us, and his love is perfected in us. And Colossians 3:14, above all, put love, the perfect bond of unity. So when we talk about perfection in our Creator, we can't not talk about love. Can we be perfect in our flesh and our physical actions every day? Scripture speaks about that. Can we be perfect in our love? Scripture shows that. What we have the opportunity to do when we live with the scriptures and according to the scriptures that Yahweh has taught us. You know, some people seek to be perfect in their faith and in their works. But we must be perfect in only Yeshua and our desire and our faith to him. That's where it must be. Not in our works and perfection in everything we do, but perfection in Yeshua and the love that he had. That's what it is. That's what we have to understand. It says in Matthew 7:16, you will know them by their fruit. The fruit is love, and the fruit has to be in love. Psalms 19:7-9 says the instruction of Yahweh is perfect, renewing one's life. The testimony of Yahweh is trustworthy, making the inexperienced wise. The precepts of Yahweh are right, making the heart glad. The command of Yahweh is radiant, making the eyes light up. The fear of Yahweh is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of Yahweh are reliable and altogether righteous. Hallelujah, hallelujah. This is and should be our obtainable goal, everyone. This should be it. Remember, it says in the scriptures, Yahweh will fight for you and you could be still. Yahweh said to Moses, why do you cry out to me, the Israelites, to move on? He wants us to press on, to win the race, to not slow down, to not stop, to never stop. Each day confessing to him our shortcomings, but coming to him each day more and more, showing more love, showing more Yeshua to others, and understanding love, and understanding what it is, and how to be a great example, giving glory to Yeshua who died for us. Hallelujah, hallelujah. That is our devotional for today. I call you all to be good examples to one another. For it says in John 13:15, for I gave you an example that you all should do as I do. That would be good examples in each other and Yeshua. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So may this day help you grow. So we'll no longer be babes and we'll be adults and grown up in his holy word. Praise our wonderful creator for everything he's given us. And the guide and instruction he's given us, for the wonderful gift of faith, for the wonderful gift of the set-apart spirit. May we use it, may it be blessed, and may we give all the glory to Yeshua, our wonderful Messiah. Have a blessed day, everybody. Yahweh be with you all, and shalom, shalom.
Come out of the world. You have been listening to Torah Life Ministries with your host, Paul Nisan. If you would like to learn more, please visit TorahLifeMinistries.org or call 917-407-2270. This program is made possible by the generous support of listeners like you. To donate, visit the website at TorahLifeMinistries.org or send your gift to Torah Life Ministries, P.O. Box 16156, West Palm Beach, Florida 33416. And thank you for your prayers and generous support. Torah Life Ministry.
You're listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Most of you know that WCNO Radio is a listener-supported ministry. But do you know that much of our programming is made possible by corporate underwriting? Christian businessmen and women who sponsor this ministry monthly with a financial commitment that allows us to continue bringing you the music and message of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In return, we play sponsorship announcements that let the listeners know who our sponsors are, what they do, what products and services they provide, and if our listeners wish, how they may contact those sponsors. So if you're a Christian business person, why not join us as a partner in ministry today? For free, no obligation information on the corporate underwriting program, we're available at 772-221-1100. That number again, 772-221-1100.
WCNO's broadcast day is underwritten by Solis Roofing Contractors, Incorporated. Solis Roofing Contractors is a specialist in the repair, installation, or replacement of metal roofing, asphalt shingles, flat foam, or